So let's do a quick round of introductions. Wait, I'll enter, put you full screen. Good. So Artane is over there. Travis, Juan, Doga, Matan, Shavo, and Roland. Okay, good. Let's start.
Okay. So I wanted to start with a quick introduction into Mock Algebras. I don't know if you know the
And here is Kevin.
I don't know if you guys.
Sorry.
Yeah, keep going.
Alright, so I want to start with a quick introduction to Mock Algebras. I don't know if you guys saw the definition before. But just to remind you, I'm going to give it anyway. So, a Mock Algebra is a V algebra with extra data element, which I will write down. So we have addition, multiplication, I will write M for that. We have unit, we have a co-multiplication, we have a co-unit, epsilon, we have an M for we have
We can see, but there is also lots of background noise.
Did you hear me well?
Now we hear you well. The problem is that when you're farther away at the blackboard, then there is more background noise.
Right. I'll try to talk through the microphone. So,
No. Well, okay. The best is if you had the microphone.
Yes, that would be the best.
Okay,
I'll try. So, first we have the multiplication, which is, what always happens. It should be associative. Then we have co-product. This should be co-associative. So we have this. So we have this rule, this axiom.
Okay. Now come closer. From I don't know what happened. Occasionally there is some feedback that amplifies the noise. Yeah. Now you're good.
Co-associative axiom.
Yeah.
So we have a unit, a co-unit. A unit and a co-unit. And the antipode, and this has also an axiom, which is...
You know... Roland, say something. Roland, can you say something?
Yes.
Okay, no, maybe it's from our side. If I don't speak for sufficiently long, the feedback starts. Keep going. Okay.
What's the last thing? Is that a fuel?
Sorry?
K? Yeah.
K.
Oh, that's K. So it's not, it's a fuel slot version. That's fine.
And you can read it also. It says if we switch the end code from position and we sandwich it between the co-product and the product, it should equal the two units here, the unit and the co-unit. So these are the axioms of a Mock algebra. Now we want to talk about the dual of a Hopf algebra, right? So we have to introduce pairing, and we have to define a product and a co-product on this group. Is this clear? Are these axioms clear?
Yeah, it's clear enough.
Okay. Then I'll go on. There are some more axioms for the unit and the co-unit, but that's not important. We define the product on the dual, so by this pairing, right? So this is a pairing between the dual H dual H star and Hopf algebra. And we define the product by the co-product.
Yeah.
And we will compare this to the classical construction where you have a Lie algebra and you see some how the kind of the same thing happens. And we can also define the co-product that way. So I think my marker is dying hard, so
I'll try to find it out.
So this is pretty straightforward, and we will calculate the dual product, the inverse product, and the dual co-product from one side, and later we will build the double from this. So this is important.
So maybe a simple example would be the group algebra and functions on the group.
So.
So if this is clear, then now we want to talk about quasi-triangular Hopf algebras. It's just a very quick introduction, so I'm just skipping over a whole lot of details, but this is the most important stuff. Is this part still seeable?
Yes, but then you are not.
I'll try my best.
Or you can move the camera a tiny bit.
Like this.
Yeah.
Alright. So we have an element just like. Oh, this is red. Sorry, you can't see it. So we have an R. This is an element of H times H. And this is this element should be invertible, and it should obey
sure what to do about it. Right. It's but then it's not going to. So you know, let me try again to remove the. I'm going to try to remove the speakers, and hopefully we will hear you well enough. The speakers were a last minute pack. Okay. Can you speak?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
What?
Good yes. Enough.
Test.
No, we barely hear you.
Mm-hmm.
I?
Yeah.
I?
You
so,
are here?
So.
Okay, so keep going.
Okay. So, and also we should have this. So, we see that in this whole algebra, this is, so this is the operation that switches the positions of the co-product, right? This is just the
opposite co-product.
This is the, yeah, right, so this is the opposite co-product here. And we see that it kind of, this R matrix kind of denotes the amount of commutativity. Since we, well, you sandwich it here and then it switches the positions, right? But then if it obeys, if this R obeys these equations, then we call this Hopf algebra quasi-triangular. And then this R matrix obeys the quantum Young-Baxter equation. I will tell you in a minute what this notation means, but I think you probably have an idea. So this is the quantum Young-Baxter equation. We are going to try to solve this equation. And with R12, we mean, so if we write out R as a sum of simple elements, so as a tensor product, then we just put the first one on the first position and the second one on the second position, and this one would be the R1 on the first position and the R2 on the third position. So that's what this notation means. And we want to try to solve this equation, and the way we're going to do that is to construct a quantum double. So we're combining the H star and the H in together in one a quasi-triangular Hopf algebra, and this is the same thing that happens in the classical double you're probably familiar with, but this is the quantum version of that construction. And what do I mean with quantum? Well, I'll tell you in a minute. So if it's all right, I'll erase this axioms. We'll come back later to it, but so we want to look at the quantization of a Lie algebra. That's what we're going to construct now.
Something like that.
So first we're going to take. So let's say we have a Lie algebra, then we're going to take the universal enveloping algebra of this Lie algebra. Are you familiar with this universal enveloping algebra? Okay.
Ah, they're still nice.
So we can make this algebra into a Hopf algebra. And how are we going to do that? Well, this is very straightforward. Once you've seen it, you'll get very familiar with it. But first we'll take the antipode as just the minus. The antipode of some element is minus this element. And be aware that this should be an anti-homomorphism. Also the co-product should be this expression, because the element tensor 1 plus 1 tensor some element plus 1 tensor this element, and this obeys the Hopf algebra axioms I just erased, together with of course the multiplication, which is just putting together the tensor things. And now we want to quantize this Hopf algebra. And what does this mean? So a deformation of a Hopf algebra is a topological. So let's say we have this Hopf algebra H together with multiplication and co-multiplication and S and some other data. Then we want to turn this into a topological Hopf algebra over the ring K of H. So we introduce some element H, and we are going to use this element to deform this this Hopf algebra. And the idea you should have that once we take the limit of H to zero, then we should return to this classical Hopf algebra. That's the idea. And we will denote this Hopf algebra with a little h here. And so this multiplication will change, and the co-multiplication will change, and this antipode will change as well. Of course, the unit and the co-unit also, but I won't write them down for now. This shouldn't be just any Hopf algebra over this ring, right? This ring of formal power series. It has to obey some conditions. So, for example, what I just said, in the limit where h goes to zero, we should rediscover our original Hopf algebra. So, we have the conditions mh equals m equals mh modulo h, and also the same thing for the co-product. And the antipode as well. Now, specifically for the, if we have a universal enveloping algebra of a Lie algebra, we also want our so we had a Lie B algebra here, right? So we want to somehow keep this delta, this co-product, this co-bracket in mind. And the condition for this is the following. So we rediscover delta in the following way. So delta H of some element A minus the opposite, right? So just the co-product factor switched, divided by h mod h. So this is the condition, and this a this x equals a mod h. All right. So this is the condition. So this is the way we want to rediscover our co-bracket. And this turns out to be an important condition, because this will dictate much of how this quantization will look like. So you see in the first order, so this is the first order term here, we already know what this delta should be. And now then we have to generalize that delta, which we guess from this condition, to another to arbitrary series in H. And the condition here is that this delta H should be an algebra homomorphism as well. And also it should still be co-associative. And this will give us pretty much this this quantization together with this condition and that condition.
What is little delta?
Little delta is the co-bracket on the Lie algebra.
Co-bracket, okay.
Yeah, so we're really connecting the Lie algebra, so the classical data, to this quantum, so to this quantization of a Hopf algebra. That's the idea.
So Lie bi algebra.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Libya, algebra. All right. So let's see. Oh, all right. That's pretty okay. So now we want to build a quantum double out of this H. So the thing is, we have to calculate the dual of this thing, and then combine it with the ordinary thing. But first, I will give you an example, and then we will build out that example. So I want to look at the 3x3 lower diagonal, lower triangular matrices. So this is the algebra, well, SL3, right? We want to build SL3 from this algebra, or Lie algebra, or, right. So I will just erase all of this. So let's start with the Lie algebra. So the lower triangular 3x3 matrices have the following generators. We will call this B minus, and it's generated by the thing we will denote with little x, little y, little z, little b, and little a, with the following relations. So,
right now your head is hiding much of what you're writing, so yeah.
So these are the generators here.
Yeah.
And we have the following relations, right? We have x and y should combine to z, to little z. So now we have the Serre relations.
So just to get oriented, can you tell us what these things are as matrices?
So we have the diagonal, then you have a one here, you have one here. So this is, I'm always confused about it, but this is probably x. And
I
then
think so, yeah.
And this is, so this is y, this is little y.
Yeah.
Of course there are zeros. And then these two, if you multiply these, right? If you do this this thing combined with that thing, then you will get a one here and zeros over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is z.
Okay. And then the other two are what? H and A?
Yeah, these are the diagonal. Since we have to have... right,
sorry,
have
for some reason now you're again sound... Yeah?
That's all right. Okay.
Yeah.
A and the B are the diagonal elements, and they should sum to zero because we're in SL3, right?
Yeah.
So then we have. I'm not sure though. Probably this one, and then here a zero, and then one minus one. This should be B, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have, but if you work this out, you also get the following relations. These are called the Serre relations. Roland is going to write something.
Yeah, but he's writing it in a tiny font, so it's really unreadable.
Oh, he's writing E21, that's X, and Y is
yeah.
Two. Elementary matrices, right?
Okay, yeah.
So that should give a hint on if you take the commutator, you should get what is Z, and it should be the lowest, the
3-1, right?
Yeah.
3-1 is equal to Z or Z.
So now we apply the diagonal matrices to the non-diagonal matrices.
Yeah.
These are
yeah.
the remaining relations. So we get, for example, AX is minus 2X. You see this minus 1, that's because we have the lower triangular matrices.
And all these relations are in the handout, right? In a classical algebra, is that correct?
Yes. These relations are at the top of the classical. I wrote them out there, and
so the brackets of everything is written explicitly.
And the big ones, so you see little x and big x, and the big x and y z stand for the dual. So if we take the dual, we will denote these generators with capital X, Y, Z. So for now, you should focus on the bracket between the small one, but between lowercase and lowercase. Let's see, what do I want to tell about this? So we have our Lie B algebra. Oh, right, so we still need a co-bracket. So you have all these relations, and you have this co-bracket, and we will set this co-bracket to zero. Or just no. So delta is zero.
So the
B minus.
Yeah.
So that would be the bracket on the dual.
And that's dual. Right. Anyway, no,
this is like G0. This is like the algebra G0, where the bracket, the co-bracket, is also zero, and that will produce Alexander polynomials.
So now we have the dual, right? And this is the classical dual. We're still not in the Hopf algebra language. Then we have the B star of, so the opposite bracket. So this one has the bracket zero, right? Because we have the pairing, and the bracket on the dual is defined by the co-bracket on the original Lie algebra. So we have our bracket zero, and then we have the co-bracket is non-zero. So, for example, the co-bracket of x is x wedge 2a minus b, and I should tell you what is a and b are. So we have introduced a dual basis. We have defined these a and b by just putting this one, and everything else is zero. So everything else is zero. And the same thing for B, and the same thing for big X, big Y, and big Z. So that's the way we introduce them.
I think we have a question.
Oh, yeah, right.
Sorry, can you do a calculation of how you get delta X to be that?
That's a good... So
it's a dual of the bracket, right? But I just want to see.
So we pair these things. So let's start with... and on this side we have delta of X, right? We should pair them with something. So in this case, we can start a good guess, just working back from the answer, would be to pair them with X. X tensor A, right? Because we expect something non-zero there. Now, from these axioms, right, from the by definition of what this co-bracket on the dual is, we can change this into a bracket, and this should be X A, right? And now what did I write down?
XA.
I think you're in front of what you have.
Oh, sorry. So this is pretty straightforward then?
And we still have this relation here. So this is minus 2x, right? But then we should change this around. So this is
2x. Again, we have noise. Yeah, okay. Keep going.
So now we calculate this commutator, right?
Yeah.
And this equals 2x. Because this A is diagonal, right? It's an eigen. So x is an eigenvalue of A. So we get x, 2x. And since x is a dual of little x, this equals 2.
Yes? The same thing you can do on the other. For the other things, but at least you see. So if we write this out, this wedge here means just anti-symmetrize the thing. So we get this 2a minus b minus 10 x. So you see that this agrees nicely with what we get here, what we see here. So this says, all right, this should be a factor 2 times x tensor A. And that's the same thing we see from this pairing.
So the pairing is extended to the tensor product by product of the pairings on both sides.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. So in this case, we, for example, get, so we get stuff plus, if we say this, so this is a linear, bilinear thing. So then we get 2 times x a and little a. This equals, so if we take the product, so then it's just x, comma, little x times big A, comma, little a.
Yeah? All right. So now we want to go to the Hopf algebra, and I guess I should spare you the details of how we get this, but we can see that it. I will give you the deformed Hopf algebra, and then we will check some axioms, just to see what things will look like. Again, you have this in your handout. So the quantum algebra is given in the file quantum algebra. Again, the big ones, right, are for the dual. Little letters are for the.
Sorry,
I forgot something. So we should first introduce the quantum double, right? I didn't say to you what it was. So this is the crucial step in creating something quasi-triangular.
I have to say something every few minutes too.
Okay. That's good.
But is it clear how you get the other relations in the classical case? So say big X and little y.
That should be zero. Wait, what?
Exactly. That should be zero, right?
Yeah.
But say for example X comma a little x, big X little x. You know that formula in the classical double? So let's say we have this b minus star plus b, and here an opposite, right? Do you know how you define the bracket and the co-bracket on this classical double?
I think that's a no.
Ah, okay. Well, that's important because. How we're going to do the quantum double is by extending this product formula to Bauer series of H, to formal series of H. So it's important we also know the classical formula for this thing. So the classical double,
right, this thing has bracket. So this is a very long formula. Sorry. So this is one side of the tensor of the sum, right? And now we have to do the other side because we have a sum here. So this is the B star opposite side. And as you can see, if you would take just two, sorry, this should be a plus. If you take two elements of this side, then you see that this is indeed the opposite bracket. Do you see that? So here is psi phi, while you put them as a phi and a psi here. So you can see that this gives us the opposite bracket on B minus star. Now, you go on and then you have you have some stuff on the other side as well, which looks the same actually. Only you switch psi and phi for the other element, the elements from B. So we will extend this, and actually, so this gives us the classical double, right? So this gives us a classical quasi-triangular B algebra. Of course, you have to define the delta on this double, but you can do this, and that's...
And what are the indices? You write indices?
Ah, sorry. So the indices are the co-bracket of this psi here, for example. Is that clear to everybody?
I think I would like to interrupt and say a few things, okay?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Okay, so first of all, you know, Shabo, well, there is... Okay, we only have 1 hour. I don't know if I told you that in advance. I don't remember if the emails explicitly said the ending time or only the beginning time. And we started late and we had technology mishaps. So we're basically close to the end, very close to the end. And... So I want to summarize, okay? There are two things I wanted to say. One is sort of one about technology, and the other is about mathematics. So first of all, about technology, or math is hard enough. Math really is bloody hard. Sorry for the language. And if you have to sort of split your attention between thinking about mathematics and thinking about technology and fighting with the sound quality, and for on your end there must have been some fighting too, namely you have to think where to stand and think whether you're speaking in the direction of the microphone or not, and it's just not the same feeling as being in the same room.
I agree with that.
What?
I agree.
Good, you agreed, but we couldn't hear you that you agreed. So, and that sort of just serves to prove the point. So I think the moral is that much as we would love to do remote seminars, we still don't have the technology. So, what? You must have said something, but we didn't hear you. So the resolution might be, so I know that there are dedicated speakers for conference calls, and people use them in meeting rooms, and they are on the expensive side, but they may or may not resolve the situation. I think, so part of the problem is sound, and it's possible, so, but you see, if we want it to work, we have to invest, basically. So I don't mind investing, but we have to think of this as sort of, we're going to have to do a few iterations until we learn how to do it.
Yeah.
We can
try to find a nice.
Sorry, we can try to find a nice
microphone.
Right. So, that would have worked. So, okay. I mean, on our side, it would have to be a conference microphone. On yours, and I would have to check if I would have to check if I can borrow one from my department. I would have to check if it connects to, if it would connect to my computer. If not, we would have to buy one. It might be a couple $100s. It might take some time. It might take some playing. It's not trivial. Basically, we have to get to the point where we feel that we're in the same room, and we're not there, okay? Now, the other thing is that on your end, you should somehow find a way to position the computer better. And then the problem is that then on our end, the blackboard might appear too small. So I'm not quite sure how to do it. Okay, this is for the... technology. So we have to decide whether we want to continue playing with it. Again, I don't mind, but I don't mind whether other people, maybe you've had enough. I mean, after all, this is experiments with humans. And it's again some Helsinki agreements and so on, right? So I mean, I'm not sure. Okay. Now, as for the mathematics, so I wanted to criticize, and Roland knows my criticism, and you probably know it through Roland. And fortunately, we don't hear you, so you can speak as much as you want, but we only hear ourselves. But it's not really. It's also not just a criticism of you. It's a criticism of a whole generation of mathematicians. So, in your talk, you said many times, we want, okay? You said, we want a Hopf algebra. We want it to satisfy this. We want to have an element R that solves the classical Young-Baxter equation. Sorry, the quantum Young, sorry, the triangular equations. You say, we want, we want, we want, and this sounds very friendly in a way, because you're not speaking about yourself, you're not saying, I want, you're speaking in the name of all of us. So not just you want, Artain wants, Travis wants, Stefan wants, Juan wants, Dro wants, Roland wants.
I'm telling you what you want, yes.
What?
No, just joking. I said, I'm telling you what you want.
Right. Oh, but okay. It's a total lie. It's a total and complete lie. because none of us, maybe except for you and Roland, came into this room wanting these things. So if you, when you phrase things in the language of we want, no, there is a point to what I'm saying. I'm critical not only of you. I'm critical of the whole generation. Okay, but I mean, when you say something in the language of we want, you have to start with something that really everybody in the room wants. So I don't know what everybody here wants, but at this stage, I think we've sort of established a common language in which, you know, saying we want a not invariant is a legitimate start, okay? But then you have to say, okay, we want a not invariant, therefore we want an algebra, therefore we want it to also be a co-algebra. Wait, why? In other words, you are pretending that there is no leap, but there is a huge leap in...
I don't know too much about not invariant, so I'm just giving you a solution.
but then you should not say, don't use the language we want. Don't pretend that we can understand you. Rather, you should use the language of, basically you should be sincere. You should say, here is a God-given, or I don't know if a God-given, but an arbitrary ansatz, which...
That would have been better. Yes, that would have been better. I agree.
Okay. And then we should at least be aware of what we don't understand. Okay? And then we should say, oh my God, you are super brilliant, you have this ansatz that works, or maybe you're not super brilliant, but you're copying, you're standing on the shoulders of giants, okay? But we should at least appreciate it, and we should at least be, you know, we should be aware of how tall is the mountain that we have to climb.
Yeah, so I didn't get to the top yet, that's true.
Yeah, no, I okay. No, and I think we should stop now.
But wait. I think we should at least have a look at the trefoil, the invariant for the trefoil. Otherwise it would be a total failure.
No, it's not a total failure, because you're thinking of it as being a single iteration, and I'm thinking of it as we learned a few things and now we can do a second iteration.
Hold on, just look at the last page of your handout. There you see the meta-specificity.
Page of which handout?
If that's E, machten, some word, and E0.
Sorry, what is the title?
Some Dutch word, E machten, M-A-C-H.
Oh, E machten algebra E0.
Yes.
So it's the one, this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's button.
Right. Yes. So I see at the end there is a trefoil.
Yes. But look at it.
Yes. Yeah, you get the product of Alexander's in the denominator.
Yes.
Yes.
And right above it is a check that Young Baxter is actually solved.
Okay.
And above that is that meta-associativity is actually holds.
Yes, good.
So that's something we want.
I agree.
So that's where it was going.
No, I believe you. And no, so this really, yeah, you're right. This page is what we really want. And then we should acknowledge that we don't understand how we got there.
Yeah. Yes. That would have been better. Yes.
Okay. Right. So we have to decide what to do next. So, you know, I'm happy. You know. Okay. I'm happy to continue. I think everybody should have. Sorry, not right now. Right now, we actually have a time limit. I'm sorry. But in principle, I'm happy to continue with this, but only if we make progress. And the progress is also in technology. So, you know, I will, you know, I don't mind between now and next Friday, say, spending a few hundred dollars to arrange the relevant technology, but you should do the same.
Yeah, we should find out what it is.
Yeah. By the way, you know, if there is a single speaker, then, you know, I have a Bluetooth headset, and, you know, if I put the Bluetooth headset like that and use only the microphone side of it, I'm not doing it right now, then at least my sound is perfect.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We can try to get the same thing here.
And a Bluetooth headset is cheap. Okay, that's not very cheap, but you know, this is not high technology. Okay? Okay.
Okay.
So I don't know, if it's up to me, I would say let's meet again next Friday at the same time. Let me make sure that I can do it. Yeah, I can do it. So, I mean, I would say let's meet again next Friday at the same time, and in between also improve the technology. And
I won't be here next Friday because
it's
a
Good Friday.
It's a holiday in the Netherlands, at least.
So.
Yeah, I would have to fight with my wife if I...
so maybe some other... So let's negotiate it by email.
Yeah.
Okay, and let's quit for now. And again, think of it as a learning experience for all of us. I'm learning too. Because, you know, I want to get to the point where I can do a remote seminars, and I'm not there yet. So, I mean, now we did hear you. What did you say?
This is very useful.
Okay, good. So, talk to you later.
All right.
Okay? Bye.